When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Five Rounds podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and UFC is back. Yeah, the first event of 2022 has just finished, UFC on ESPN 32. Calvin Kattar versus Giga Chikadze. Let's quickly run through these four prelims. All four of the prelims ended with decisions. Firstly, coming in the lightweight division with TJ Brown getting the nod over Charles Rosa. Then in the featherweight division, Brian Keller got the victory over Kevin Kroom. Going up to the welterweight, Colt McGee continuing his renaissance with the decision against Ramiz Brahimaj, and then Jamie Pickett picking up the decision against Ugly Joe Holmes. Going on to the main card, six fights on this card, and we started with another decision. Decision heavy card this week. Opening up in the featherweight division, we had Bill Algeo taking on Joe Anderson Brito. Whilst it did go to a decision, it was a really kind of interesting fight. For me, quite tight. The first round started with both fighters looking pretty bright. Algeo looking to start off with the kicks and then to kind of use that momentum to force into clinches. But Brito was well aware for that and came in and got the takedown. Algeo did try to kind of to roll through with it and switch the takedown, but absolutely didn't get a chance. We see Algeo trying to kind of get back to his feet, but a great kind of crotch lock by Joe Anderson Brito whilst up against the cage fence really keeps him in control. He then lifts up Algeo, carries him all the way around the octagon, literally carrying him on his shoulders before slamming him down to the floor. But Brigo is able to kind of like cushion the blow and didn't really suffer too much damage because of it. But what he did do was he lost his position, and Brito was able to work his way around the back, eventually getting both legs in for the hooks and going for an attempt at a rear naked choke. Really kind of slow and methodical about it. But Algeo really worked well by spinning out and just at the right time to escape the submission attempt and end up with top position, landing some big shots. We see Brito then go for the armbar, which isn't there, but he's able to use that as a way to get back to the feet. Again, Brito tries to take it down to the floor, but Bill Algeo is able to stuff this takedown. So we kind of end the first round with Algeo trying to keep Brito at bay with the takedowns by landing ranger jabs and keeping him away with the push kicks. Second round, again, a lot of the same with Brito looking for that takedown. But Aljo was way more wiser to it in the second round, was able to sprawl, but also land a few elbows to kind of give Brito something to think about. Didn't really work because all the way through the round and pretty much all the way through the fight, that was what he was looking for, was to try and get the takedown. But Aljo really did well in stuffing those takedowns. And then landing some big shots, ended up landing a couple of really good knees to the point where Brito then started to maybe change up his game plan a little bit, started landing a few nasty leg kicks, but all this was to set up for that takedown, and yet again goes for it, and yet again he's stuffed. Aljo on this third takedown, it actually does a really good job of trying to take the back, but Brito is wise to it. Quickly gets to onto his back and gets some attacks in from the bottom. We see Aljo switching to side control. And then Brito is landing some big knees. He's able to stand up. And then lands a huge right hand. Aljo just eats it. They end up clinching. And then with the last round to go, again, Brito is looking for that takedown. Aljo, though, very wise to it. So Brito starts, again, going to the leg chops to kind of give Aljo something else to focus on so he can slide that takedown in, but Aljo is more wise to it, starts to clinch more, gets up against the fence, lands some good shoulder strikes, breaks away to try for a knee, which just misses, but then Brito starts landing some big shots, a couple of straights. We get a little bit of a break for an eye poke, and you can tell that this fight is kind of like slowing down now. Aljo is happy to trade punches. He actually then gets a takedown of his own, gets into side control. Brito gives up the back, and we see Aljo scoring some elbows, trying to land the choke, but the choke is not there. And we end the fight with him in control, but unfortunately, Brito did more work in the rounds and got the very much warranted unanimous decision. Only one judge gave him three rounds, and the other two going for 29-28. But all three of them giving the victory to Aljo over Brito. So. Good victory for him. Very, very tight fight. But Bill Aljo kind of weathers a very painful storm. Going up a division now to the lightweight division, we see Dakota Bush looking to finally get in the win column against Vyacheslav Borshev. Unfortunately, he leaves this fight 0-2, and Borshev, making his UFC debut, scores the victory, and he actually scores the first finish of 2012. Started quite entertaining. Bush threw in a few early high kicks, gets a few leg kicks in, misses a right hand, and we see kind of almost like a very tentative Borshev. The UFC did a really good job of kind of like promoting this guy, showing a video package before the fight of just what he's able to do. So it was interesting to see him not doing any action in the first minute or so, really kind of studying Bush and seeing what Bush had in his arsenal. We see him finally start to do something when he throws a few punches towards Bush, and Bush is able to avoid them and get the action to the floor. Bush postures up, starts to land some ground and pound, but we see Bush try and scramble. He ends up kicking away, but Bush pushes him back down and tries to keep the ball, the fire on the floor. Borshev is able to roll out and get back to his feet, and then we see Bush trying to keep the pressure up, keep the momentum going, but he started whiffing on a lot of his big shots. And then we see Borshev land a sweet uppercut followed by a hook. This really wobbles Dakota to the point where he starts really staggering. He's able to really kind of gather his thoughts and then to slip behind Borshev and try and get some momentum back, but Borshev is able to stand and bang with him. Borshev is gets out of the position. We see Bush crawling to his feet. He goes for to shoot, which is quickly stuffed, and then we see some fighting going towards the cage. We see Dakota Bush kind of backing off, and then Borshev lands a couple of shots to the body. First one looking quite innocuous, but the second one clean on the liver, and it absolutely crumbles Dakota Bush to the point where the fight was just over. Bush just crumbles to the floor. A couple of shots for ground and pound, and this fight is all over. A great debut victory for Vyacheslav Borshev. Really kind of made a statement, and then did his cool dance afterwards. Good victory for Borshev, and a good way to start 2022's finishes.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Next on the card was in the women's flyweight division, a rematch from a couple of years ago. Katlyn Chookagian and Jennifer Meyer, both women looking to push themselves back into title contention. And Chookagian, this is her 10th UFC victory, and she actually broke a long-standing record for being the first fighter to not be able to get a finish in their first 10 UFC victories. All 10 of her victories coming via decision. And this one was absolutely no different. She did really dominate the fight, to be fair. Not a lot of action by both ladies. Very kind of like nervy fight. It was a lot of shots and then counter shots. Nothing, no kind of real significant moments where somebody looked like they were in a lot of damage. But we see some good right hands from Chookagian. See some decent leg kicks from Jennifer Meyer. But we didn't see the Jennifer Meyer that is the only person who's ever took a round off Valentina Shevchenko, whether it was the pressure of wanting to get a win back against Katlyn, or whether it was just Katlyn was the much rounded, much more solid fighter. But yeah, it just didn't seem to be Jennifer Myers. Now, every time she went for a clinch, it seemed like Chu Kagan was always one step ahead. When Jennifer Myers went for a trip, Chu Kagan was able to read it and end up in top position. Every time that Jennifer Myers looked like she was landing or looking to land one of those big power moves, Chu Kagan was shooting her down just by matching in volume and just in output. Yeah, it was a very cagey fight all the way through. Catelyn Chu Kagan did seem to be switching stances to try and maybe confuse Jennifer Myers and stop those attempts at takedowns and that Brazilian jiu-jitsu from being a factor in this match. And what Chu Kagan did really well was able to pressurize Meyer up against the cage and able to get in things like her underhooks to show Meyer that she was able to control her, and then pull away, get back to the center and do the same thing all over again. Very simplistic fighting from Chu Kagan, but it absolutely works. And the fact that she's able to score 10 victories, I think this would end up being a fourth victory in a row, which will certainly push her back into the main event status again. Whether this will have any effect on her against Valentina Shevchenko, I have my doubts, but it was certainly a decent victory for Catelyn Chu Kagan. And yeah, it's back to the drawing board there for Jennifer Meyer. So next on the card, we drop down to the flyweight division. Brandon Royval taking on Rogério Bontorin. Both these guys looking to kind of position themselves as the next contenders once we get the Moreno versus Figueiredo battle sorted in the next couple of weeks. And for Brandon Royval, it looks like he maybe has signed his rematch with Brandon Moreno. That fight from a couple of years ago was one of the very best fights of the year. And to get there, he's gone through one of potentially what could be one of the best fights of 2022. A really back and forth fight with Rogério Bontorin. Brandon eventually gets the split decision, but it was very, very close all the way through. Through the fight, first round started as brightly as flyweights do. Lots of long range shots from Brandon Royval, who towered over his opponent, Rogério Bontorin. But the difference was Bontorin has a hell of a lot of power behind those arms, where Royval is someone who puts out a lot of firepower, but maybe not as powerful as Bontorin's did. But we see Royval really kind of keeping Bontorin at bay with kicks. One of Bontorin's kicks actually gets through and sweeps Royval off the ground. He actually ate quite a few kicks to kind of set up for that, because he waited for Royval to throw yet another kick to be able to take the standing leg out. But Royval is back up straight away. Bontorin was using his fakes to kind of gauge the distance, but then we see Royval with a big overhand right, then landing with some leg kicks, and then following up with a knee. We see an attempt at a spinning back fist, and Bontorin really kind of struggling with finding a range. But Bontorin takes advantage of the missed spinning back fist to wrap up Royval and drag him to the floor. Gets some side control, holds him down on the canvas for a little while. Eventually lets go, and then we see Royval using that as a get-out clause to get back to his feet. Bontrin lands a left whilst the two were getting up, and Roval starts turning up the output a little bit, landing some shots with his hands, landing some more low kicks. Bontrin, whilst he didn't throw anywhere near the amount as Roval did, did land some big shots of his own. With about a minute to go, ended up getting another takedown. But Roval was able to score the more output from his back with getting his legs up on the shoulders of Bontrin and able to push off and get back to his feet. Second round, he came out to essentially keep going in the style that the first round went, landing low kicks, using his range to keep Bontrin at bay, but Bontrin lands a big overhand left, which knocks Roval to the floor. Roval obviously wasn't dazed by this, because he instantly goes for the triangle attempt, but Roval is able to escape, get control of the back. Which Roval is aware of, and he is able to manage to escape Bontrin's attempts at submission, get himself back, fighting from the bottom, looking for submissions. But Bontrin is able to just keep it calm and keep it collected, and know that whilst Roval is dangerous on the back, that Bontrin also is quite handy whilst grappling, and he was able to hold on to the clinch. But he, a little lapse in concentration, sees Roval able to get back to his feet and back to the floor. Start trading some punches. We see Bontrin then again try and get the fight on the ground. Gets the back again, but then Roval is able to turn it around and get back to the feet. So a very kind of cat and mouse style round in this second round. But Bontrin again is able to get the takedowns. This round was all in favour of Bontrin. He was really did well with getting the fight to the ground, but Roval equally as good in defending and getting back to his feet quickly. With about a minute to go, we see Roval land a decent left, but Bontrin fires back with a left of his own, which wobbles Brendan Roval. And we see a little bit of standing and banging before Bontrin goes for another takedown to finish the round on top and in control, and to kind of really square this up and make this third round a very, very important one. Again, this third round came out and started exactly how the first and second one started, with Roval pushing the pace, landing some low kicks, and then using his long rangey punches to keep Bontrin at bay. But Bontrin does land a huge punch down the middle, which is countered with a big right hand to the body by Brendan Roval. Throws another kick, which Bontrin is able to catch and use that as a trip. Bontrin goes for to get inside, but Roval is able to push him away. Bontrin ducks and goes for another takedown, whilst doing it, eats a knee, but still is able to take the Roval to the ground. From his back again, Roval is looking very much so for a submission attempt, goes for a gorga plata, goes for an armbar, but Bontrin is able to avoid them and also takes our control. Roval attempts to sweep his way out, he's able to reverse and get top position. Bontrin is doing well from underneath, but Roval quickly gets into half guard. and starts putting weight and pressure onto Bontorin, leading into him with the shoulders, and then poshing up and landing some elbows, landing some punches as well. But Bontorin is firing back at Rival, but this kind of exchange on the bottom really... it was the last action of the fight, and it was what set the two fighters apart, really. Like I said, a very razor-thin decision, but that kind of last control on the ground and ground and pound from Brendan Royval really kind of shows that he definitely deserved the victory. A very, very tight victory. One of the hardest fights he could have come up with, and yeah, that'll push... Brendan Royval back into title contention, hopefully. So after that, going into our co-main event, we had Jake Collier taking on Chase Sherman, the two big beefy heavyweights. Jake Collier coming in looking pretty saggy around the midsection, I suppose. Chase Sherman looking like he's essentially carved out of granite. And this is a Collier who has kind of followed the long-standing tradition of big, beefy heavyweights who go in and look for knockouts, but have very kind of little in terms of ground game or in terms of submission game. But yeah, surprisingly, Jake Collier gets the victory over Chase Sherman with a rear naked choke. Goes for an early low kick, and it, as he tries to kind of like circle around Chase Sherman, lands a big right hand. We see Sherman swinging back and lands a big right of his own. Collier landing a couple of jabs, gets some kind of a real kind of a form box boxing where they're both absolutely throwing some huge shots. Collier pushes the action forward, gets the fight to the ground, gets quickly into mount, lands a huge elbow. We see a cut on Sherman's face, big punches. So Sherman has to give up his back to stop taking huge damage, and this is where we see Jake Collier wrap his arm around the neck of Chase Sherman, squeezes the life out of it, and Sherman has absolutely no option but to tap. Jake Collier picking up the submission victory, and it's not a good fight for Chase Sherman. Really kind of disappointed, didn't show what he could do in this, but Jake Collier showing that there is more to his game than just standing and banging.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And talking of standing and banging, let's get into the main event. Essentially, this card was all about this fight. The other fights, as interesting and diverse the fights were, this card has only been pushed for this main event of Calvin Kattar taking on Giga Chikadze. Both fighters looking to push their way into featherweight title contention. Both coming in with a lot of hype. Giga Chikadze, unbeaten in the UFC, really kind of making a lot of waves in this division, and Calvin Kattar, obviously one of the higher rated fighters in the featherweight division. This was always going to entertain, but we may well see a fight that come December is counted in the best fights of 2022, because this was absolutely glorious to watch. Both guys giving their absolute all. Calvin Kattar getting essentially the clean sweep, winning every round on the judges' scorecards. But Giga Kakadze comes out of this looking like somebody who has a lot of heart and a lot of passion. The first round, we actually do see a little bit of grappling towards the end of it, but the majority of it is what we see throughout the whole of the fight, standing and banging, elbows, punches, kicks. The ground game part of the first round actually came from a whiffed kick from Giga Chikadze. Misses the leg kick, he slips, and Calvin Kattar, he rushes forward to get top position. We see him focusing on trying to get a submission, trying to land some big shots, and then he actually ends up falling into a guillotine attempt for Chikadze. So it's looking like a bad move by Calvin Kattar, but able to slip out. Quite a tense moment there, but Chikadze is able to stay safe for the end of the round. Going into the second and the third, it's a lot more of the same. Calvin Kattar looking to land some big shots. His elbows were brutal all the way through the fight. And Chikadze just didn't have the kind of power that Calvin Kattar had, but certainly in the second and third had more of the output. It was just that whenever Kattar landed, you could see it hurt Chikadze a lot more. It was doing a lot more damage. Chikadze's shots weren't hurting Calvin as much as Calvin's shots were hurting Chikadze, and the output from Calvin actually increased all the way through the fight, where Giga's, you could definitely see there was a drop off when you get to the fourth round. You could see that there was a lot of energy spent in those first two or three rounds, because when we get to like the fourth round, it's almost like the two guys are moving through molasses. We see that there's a lot of blood all over Chikadze's face. He's looking very kind of almost punch drunk a lot of the time. And Kattar, whilst he still has quite a high volume of shots, you can tell that they've lost that spring. But he's still able to land some huge shots. Both guys had chins like absolute granite, taking some big shots. But Kattar's elbows and the leg kicks were doing a lot more damage than Giga Chikadze's were. Going into the fifth round, it was quite clear that Chikadze needed the finish. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to get it. He's not through lack of training, though. He absolutely threw everything he had at Calvin Kattar, to the point where he was sometimes making some mistakes. There was a kick that Calvin Kattar was able to catch, but Chikadze was able to escape from that. Kattar just kept walking forward and landed some big shots, and Chikadze was kind of slowing down but throwing the heavier shots, almost like he was having to load up on the shots. We see an attempt at a question mark kick. Blood just he almost looked like Kratos from God of War, the amount of blood that was pouring down his face. Whilst Chikadze was still looking for the bigger shots, it was actually Kattar that was landing the most. I think in the fifth round he landed over 70 shots, which was his highest all the way through the fight. Coming to the last second, we see Chikadze slip, and Kattar is able to get top control, and that's where we end the fight. And Calvin Kattar really dominated this fight and really stood out and put himself in prime position to face the winner of the upcoming featherweight title fight. So that'll be an interesting fight to go and see, but definitely go and check out this Qatar and Chikadze fight. It was absolutely superb. And the thing with this ESPN on 32 card is that it's actually just a teaser for next week's huge card. We get two title fights in on this card, but we've got the likes of Saeed Nurmagomedov taking on Corey Stammen, Alexei Oleinik hopefully beating the living piss out of Greg Hardy. But we've got Brandon Moreno defending his title in the trilogy fight against Davison Figueiredo. And then we've got that grudge match at heavyweight. Not only is it Francis Ngannou looking to beat interim champion Cyril Gagne, but also kind of put himself in a position to beat Dana White in terms of his contract. So, yeah, definitely tune in next week to hear what I thought of UFC 270. But yeah, that's pretty much all from me for this week. I want to first of all thank you all for listening. Yeah, I know it's been a slog over this Christmas and New Year period with no UFC and kind of having the filler content, and yeah, it's just great to have actual fighting back. So hopefully it won't be too many weeks away for the UFC as we go into the rest of 2022. But yep, you can follow me on social media at PodfatherMags, follow Carlos at Kirby_Carlos, follow the show at Five Rounds Pod, and definitely go and check out some of the rest of the awesome content creators on the networks that we are very, very proud to be a part of. So that's Visionaries Global Media, that's Radio Techers, and that's of course here on Chair Shot Radio. So thank you all for listening, and that is the end.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with two chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.